Romans chapter 6 and verses 8 to 11 on page 1069 in the Church Bibles. 1069. Romans chapter 6 and beginning at verse 8, where Paul writes to these first century Christians. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Funny things sometimes happen to clergy. The most unexpected thing, it happened last night in Cheapside. I'd been out to supper with a friend, and I was just coming back to Bank Tube Station. He was standing at the bus stop, and we were just chatting away idly until the bus came. And suddenly this, I have to confess, I, of course, being a clergyman, am very heavenly minded. I never normally think things, think certain things anyway. But I was approached by this very beautiful woman. Even I, holy as I am, realized she was very beautiful. And she said, "Are you a real priest?" I thought, yes, she must often come across people dressing up as clergy in Cheapside. I said, I am. She said, "Well, you're just the man I want." Well, it's a long time since anyone said that to me. So I was temporarily really quite encouraged. And she said, "I'd love you to give me a blessing." And I had a cynical moment, and I glanced around to see if any of her friends were there with a camera. And there was no one else. At Cheapside at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday evening is really quite deserted. It's very different on a Thursday. So I said, "I'd be delighted to give you a blessing." And so I closed my eyes and I prayed the blessing of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit on her, thinking, "I hope this is a sensible thing to do." And then I opened my eyes and she opened hers and she said, "I feel totally different." And I felt so ashamed at having doubted her. She said, "I feel totally different. Thank you very much indeed." And she walked off into the night. I was left slightly lost for words, but eventually the bus that my friend was waiting for came and he popped onto it and I popped into Bank Tube. And every so often I'm aware, as I was last night, that the Holy Spirit is challenging me, is putting me on the spot, and putting me on the spot particularly when it comes to prayer. I'm aware how tentative I can sometimes be, and how my prayer life can sometimes just not be as bold as I'd like it to be, how hesitant I can be when it comes to prayer. Of course, I always want to pray boldly. I listen to some members of our church here and in St. Margaret's praying. I think I would love sometimes to pray as boldly and as unequivocally as that. Of course, before you think, right, you're going to another church, because obviously the vicar's pretty hopeless. I do often pray, very boldly, and I ought to do so more. I've known many times over the years when God has answered my prayers in exactly the way that I wanted him to answer them. Yet somehow, in the pressure of different moments, I forget that and end up downplaying what I ask him to do. It's a struggle I went through in St. Margaret's across the road a couple of weeks ago. I was praying, as I always do before the service, in the half hour or so before the service starts, just going around the church, praying for people who sit in different places, praying where we have prayer ministry, praying where the band plays. And I just felt, as we all know, one of those moments, the Holy Spirit saying, "Goodness, I thought you could pray better than that. Where is your faith?" And it's one of those moments when you think, I know this is you, Lord. I'm not quite sure I like it, but I know it's you. So I better respond in the way that I should. So I prayed for the things that I often remember. I prayed that people would come, and I found myself praying for a particular number, higher than we'd had for some months. I just prayed for that. Then with the side chapel in St. Mark's, where people can come and sit if they're there for the first time, slightly hesitant, or they're late, or they know they're waiting for a call from work. And I pray that there will be a certain number in that side chapel, more again than there have been for some weeks. I was very specific. And then I went to the prayer, thinking, ooh, this is, I'm going to be disappointed. Then I went to where we did prayer ministry, and I prayed, Lord Jesus, what I want here is for there to be as many men coming up for prayer as there are women. The women seem to bounce up for prayer, full of spiritual hunger, wanting more of God. And our men often pray directly for the Lord, as I know they're doing, for more of God, etc., etc. In the main body of the church, in the side chapel, there were more than I prayed for. I was amazed. And far more men than women came up for prayer. And then yesterday I thought, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray. And then I went out into the church. I found myself praying, can you believe it, after that? I found myself starting to pray, saying, now, Lord, as you know, it's the school holidays, and there won't be quite as many people here as I would have liked and as there were when we last talked about this. And, of course, there are those who, because other people will be away at work, we won't be able to come because they'll be concentrating on helping out and picking up things which aren't necessarily part of what they do. And I just felt within me a bit of a kind of touch of the Holy Spirit. And I found myself saying, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to pray boldly again. And God exceeded again the expectations that I had. And as you can imagine, after the last time, I prayed boldly. So it's particularly timely at this point to come to that bit in Romans 6 where the Apostle Paul is focusing on us being alive to God in Jesus Christ, as we see in verse 11. Experiencing in our lives something of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Because it sounds great, doesn't it? What does it mean in our discipleship day by day? Being alive to God should give us a fresh sense of confidence in our relationship with Him, a fresh experience of His presence and love, and this should naturally change the way we pray. For just as God did the apparently impossible in raising the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, so we can trust Him that He is able to act in remarkable ways when we ask Him to do so. His resurrection life in us should free us to pray more boldly and more specifically than we might otherwise have had the confidence to do. We can talk to Him about what matters to us at that particular moment, the challenges and the anxieties that we're facing, as well as the hopes we hardly dare sometimes admit even to Him. And we do so knowing He can make the difference. He can answer our prayers. Our confidence in our relationship with Him also stops us losing heart when He doesn't answer in our time scale. We find ourselves confident enough in the relationship to say, this isn't my timing, Lord, but I'm going to trust yours. This isn't exactly my agenda, but I'm going to trust yours. And when this isn't easy, because it sometimes isn't to accept his agenda and his timing. We can ask for more of the Spirit to give us the reassurance to hold on. That's what being alive to God means. And today he simply wants to fill us afresh with his resurrection life, releasing us to pray more boldly. And I wonder whether, as Will comes back to lead us in worship, what it is, most of all, you want God to do.